All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's nice to have you with us. I see some new faces. Who's here for the first time? Welcome, 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 welcome. It's wonderful to have you with us, and we're very blessed, and we trust that you're going to have a wonderful time with us. How many of you know that God is good? Ah, God is awesome. God is amazing. Now, before we go any further, there's something that I would like to do that we haven't done for quite a while. How many of you believe in Matthew chapter 28, which basically commissions us to go out and bring in the harvest, to go out and bring in the lost? How many of you know that it's necessary for us to bring in people that are lost? Just wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. How many of you have a passion for souls? In other words, you believe that everybody has the right to be saved and that God made people to go to Him one day. I want you to understand something. Hell was not created for people. Hell was created for Satan and his demons. Some people are stupid enough to want to go there, but you don't have to. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't have to. Ah, there we go. You don't have to. And the only way, no, Louis, even you don't have to go there. Oh, all right. If you tell any of his preschool teachers that he was not going to go to hell, they'll tell you, you must be mad. But you're not, are you? There we go. So here's what we're going to do. We know that God is good. We know that salvation is real. But in the life of every person that gets saved, there is supernatural forces at work to either bring about salvation or to bring about their ultimate demise and destruction in the pit of hell. Whether you like it or not, angels are real, demons are real, the kingdom of God is real, but the kingdom of Satan is also real. Amen? Now, Jesus says we must play a role in the ultimate salvation. He says, go out and teach them what I taught you and teach them to teach others what I taught you, etc., etc. That is discipleship, but that is also the basis of getting salvation out there. God cares about people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have eternal life. And yes, your mother-in-law is included in that, whether you like it or not. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. Do you believe that God wants to use you in some way to bring about salvation in somebody's life? Yes. Now, can I tell you why some people do not get saved? Because they are in satanic bondage, because there's a whole bunch of spirits, sometimes because they got an attitude problem, but there are forces working that will not let them accept Christ or will not let them understand the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says, if the gospel is hidden, it is hidden in those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds that they cannot perceive the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things that Satan is busy with right now is to blind the minds of people to the reality and the existence of first God and salvation through Christ. How many times have you spoken to somebody about God and they're like, oh, don't talk to me about this stuff. Oh, that's a fairy tale. Oh, this is nonsense. Oh, it doesn't work that way. When I die, I'm going to go to sleep. That's all. I'll just never wake up again and I won't have any stress and I won't have any problems. Hello, that's a big mistake because that's not biblical. The decisions you make down here on earth determine where you go when you pass over. And there is no such thing as crossing over the way John Edwards says. Crossing over has to do with from this plane to the other plane, and you cannot come back. Amen? Now let's do our part. How many of you know somebody that's not saved? Everybody. Let me name you a couple of people in this area that are not saved. There's a whole bunch of prostitutes that's not saved. There's a whole bunch of drug dealers that's not saved. There's a whole bunch of crime lords, kingpins that are not saved. There's some petty thieves that are not saved. There's some fathers and mothers that are not saved. There's some teenagers right now experimenting with rubbish that are not saved. But it's God's heart to save them. How do we change our area? Can the police do it? I'm sorry, but they can't. There's no way. The schools can't do it. You know why? Because it's the church's job. The only way for somebody to truly change is for that person to get saved and convicted in their heart and realize what they're doing is wrong. Putting them in prison doesn't change anything. They learn new tricks. They come out and they're very chuffed that they can use that on your house or on your car. It's not going to change them. But getting them truly saved, bringing them to salvation, the Holy Spirit convicting their hearts is going to bring about the change that you and I want for our area, for our families, etc., etc. So without further ado, I want you to please stand. I know that some of you are lawyers, some of you are doctors, some of you are mechanics, some of you are butchers, and you know, whatever you do is fine. But from the perspective of the kingdom of God, we are all what? Fishers of men. Amen? Now, what does every self-respecting fisher need? Yeah, I know some of you are going to tell me that I need my 12-foot rod and my pen reel. And now, we're thinking back Jesus' day. What you need is you need a net. So here's what we're going to do. We do this by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is why 4-year-olds please God a lot more than 40-year-olds. Because you've forgotten how to use your imagination. Would you like to use your imagination again? Right, take your right index finger. No, Mr. Bean, don't push it up your nose. It's not the right place for it. Put it in your right ear. Turn it clockwise. Okay, you've switched it on. Now it's going to work. I'm only joking, man. I'm only joking. Right. Put your right hand up. If you are a fisher of men, then in this hand right now, you have a net. I don't care whether you can see it or not. You don't see demons, but they are real. You don't see angels, but they are real. The things of the kingdom of God don't have to be visible. They are real. So you got your net in your hand. Now I want you to pray this with me. Father God, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you today that I am called and commissioned to be a fisher of men. And Lord, tonight, I bring before you every single person that you have brought upon my life that is removed from you, that knows nothing about you, that has rejected you, and that right now is in bondage to slavery and Satan. And I'm trusting you, Lord, that as a fisher of men, I have everything I need to bring about godly change in this individual's life. I bring before you every prostitute, every drug dealer, every crime lord, every teenager. Lord, I don't care what they're up to right now. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. And they deserve a chance to be children of God. So I thank you, Lord, that as I cast my net tonight, it will be guided by the Holy Spirit. It will hit the target. And it will bring in the lost. I claim them for the kingdom of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I cast my net. Throw your net out. Now by faith, I want you to take it and you start pulling it in. Lord, I'm trusting you right now that in the spirit world there is a change taking place. And I thank you, Lord, that the people in this area that are not saved, that are cursed by the powers of darkness, that are in bondage, that are in slavery, that are into crime, that are into corruption, that are into destruction, Lord, I'm trusting you that they are coming into the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy that allows the lost to be saved. I honor you and I thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus. Please give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you. You can sit down.
All right. Stand again. All right. It says that every time a human is saved, that heaven rejoices. And I'm pretty sure the song goes like this. Thank you.
It's all
Lord, will all the earth glory. No other name will share glory be. O kingdoms rise and nations mark your mercy. One day they'll stand and worship only. Every knee will bow down, every tongue will say I love. You are the Lord of earth and heaven. Every hand will be raised and the thunder of praise. You are the King of all creation, they'll say. One day, one day. Today we join with angels and archangels. Never cease by day or night is same. Yet we await the moment that drives heaven around your throne to raise an altar of praise. Every knee will bow down, every tongue will say out loud, you are the Lord of earth and heaven. Every hand will be raised in the thunder of praise. You are the King of all creation, they'll say. One day, one day. Yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever, amen. We'll sing, yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever, amen. They'll sing, yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever, amen. We'll sing, yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever, amen. Say out loud, you are the Lord of earth and in heaven. Every hand will be raised and the thunder and praise. You are the King of all creation, they'll say. Every knee will bow down, every tongue say out loud, you are the Lord of earth and in heaven. Every hand will be raised in the thunder of praise. You are the King of all creation, they'll say. One day, one day, one day, one day. We're gonna shine, we're gonna shine.
Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Well, praise the Lord. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
And I do believe that, you know, that song we just sang, it's time for the reign of God. It's time for His authority. It's time for the kingdom of our God to be revealed.
Amen.
Amen, my friend. I want to say something to you. I don't know what you're going through in your life right now, but I'm pretty sure that you got some problems somewhere, because everybody does. And sometimes we're in a place where our problems seem so big and so destructive, and there's like really no way out. Well, then I've got some good news for you. God has a supernatural plan to get you out of the dwang. Amen?
Amen.
God has ways and means of dealing with stuff that you and I can't comprehend, that we can't fathom, and that we know nothing about. Because the kingdom of God, look at me, is real. The kingdom of God is not a fairy tale. The kingdom of God is a very real place. Amen? How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? Right, let's go quickly. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Right, let's just stop there quickly. How many times have you prayed this prayer? Well, I remember when I was in primary school, the school that I was in, every morning we would rise at assembly and we would all pray that prayer. So, I don't know, how many days in a school year? I was there for 7 years. I probably prayed that prayer a couple of thousand times. And you know what? Every time I was asking God, in a sense, imploring God to allow His kingdom to come. What was I asking God for? Well, I was asking God to become involved in my life and to manifest Himself and to manifest His kingdom in my life. Amen? Now listen to me carefully. There are diseases and sicknesses in this world that they tell us they cannot be cured, they cannot be healed, there is no way to deal with them. And to a certain extent, they are right. From a natural, carnal perspective, there are many things that we cannot cure. But the kingdom of God can. Amen? Amen. There's some of you, yeah, you've got financial problems coming out your eyeballs. You're floating in financial dwang. But guess what? In the kingdom of God, there is a solution. Can I tell you why? Because the kingdom of God is a supernatural place where supernatural things happen, where the miraculous takes place with one touch or one word. Yes, I know I've said this many times, but I want you to listen and I want you to have faith, because without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. The woman that had the issue of blood followed after Jesus, and she was in a situation that was dire in her time and in the culture that she grew up in, because she had this issue of blood under the law of Moses, she was not allowed to be touched by people. And she wasn't allowed to be amongst people. And she was following a rabbi, and woman at that time wasn't allowed to be in the presence of a rabbi. So, you know what? Everybody and everything seemed to be counting against her to receive anything. But she had something that a lot of people are lacking. What's it called?
Faith.
It's called faith. And let me tell you something about faith. It costs you nothing. Sometimes you got to just dig your heels in and say, I'm going to go for broke. I'm going to trust God. I'm not leaving this place until I receive something. And this woman decided that she needs to get to this man because she had heard the testimonies of the manifestation of the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. She had heard that the blind eyes were opening. She had heard that the deaf ears were hearing. She had heard about the miracles that God did when they ran out of wine and Jesus created new wine out of water. And something just spoke to her heart. And she said, this is what I need to give me back my life. And even though the world was trying to stop her, I can tell you something. When she started trying to get to Jesus, there was many people that pushed her away and said, get out of here. You're not allowed to be here. You are cursed. Get out of this. Get out of the city. Go wait outside. You are unclean. You have no right to be here. And when she got closer to Jesus, the Pharisees all came down on her. Oh, this man is a rabbi. You're not allowed to be a woman. You get out of here. Did she give up? No. Unfortunately, most of us, we give up way too easy. Some things are worth fighting for. Some things are worth persevering for. And this woman knew that she knew that she knew. Her heart already knew that God had something for her. Through this man, she would receive it. And she was probably, because of her situation that she was in, probably because she was a woman, I think maybe even though she had the faith to get up to Jesus, she might not have had the faith to confront him and say, "Here I am, I need your help." But she touched his coat, his cloak. The Bible says she touched the hem, which is like the very bottom part. She went down to the floor and she touched him. And what happened? The Bible says Jesus immediately felt power leaving him and something happened. The anointing transferred from him into her and she was instantaneously healed, set free, liberated. God gave her back her life. Something that back then they said was impossible was done in a second because of faith. Now look at your neighbor and say, God is the same yesterday and today and forever. And it's time for you to have faith. My friend, it's time for you to have faith. I don't know what the problem is that you are facing right now. But I'm telling you, just like that woman, there are many things saying to you that it's not for you. It's not going to happen. You're not good enough. God doesn't care about you. Blah, blah, blah. But it's time. It's time for us to change our attitude. It's time for us to have faith. It's time for us to bring God into the equation. You know, when we face problems, we fall apart quickly and we try and find human ways to deal with the situation. But as children of God, the scope that we have to receive healing or to receive a breakthrough or to receive a miracle transcends the natural and it enters into the supernatural because we are children of God and the kingdom of God is part of our life. And I want to say to you again, whether you know it, whether you like it, whether you believe it or not is irrelevant because that doesn't change the reality. The kingdom of God is real. And the kingdom of God is a supernatural place. The kingdom of God is a place where one touch brings restoration. The kingdom of God is a place where one word spoken in faith can change circumstance that people said is impossible. The kingdom of God is a place where you walk on water. The kingdom of God is a place where you turn water into wine. I bet you wish you could do that. He owns a restaurant. If he could do that, he would make a lot of money. Listen, yeah. Apparently, if he could do that, he would give me a free glass. Now, that's a bigger miracle than turning water into wine. It's time. Yeah, praise God. It's time. The kingdom of God is real. Young lady, what's your name? Come here, please. It's time. It's time for the reign of God. It's time for the glory of God to fall. It's time for the manifestation of the power of the kingdom of God. The manifest power of God in our lives. Young lady, I want you to stand here for me. The Lord gave me a word for you. You have been trusting God for a very long time for change, for transformation, for breakthrough. There are things that is locked up in your heart that you and God know that you are trusting God for. And God says, tonight is your night. You grab it with both hands because it is time. Come and stand behind her for me, please. Where is the kingdom of God, my friends? The kingdom of God is upon us. Jesus said, If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When does the kingdom of God manifest? When the power of the Holy Spirit begins to move. Tonight, in Jesus' mighty name, you are going to have an encounter with the power of God. And something inside of you is going to change. You will never be the same person again. Right now, the power of God is dripping through you. From tonight, a river will gush from within you. In Jesus' name, receive it. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. The fire of God is falling upon you right now. There are things in your life that God is going to push away. The fire is going to burn it out of your life. Tonight, the power of God is purifying your soul. Lord, we praise you and we glorify you. We give you all the honor and we give you all the glory. Lord, you are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the great I am. There is none like you. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Come stand here for me, please. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You need a breakthrough. You trust in God. Amen. Raise your hands. Everybody, stretch out your hands towards this man. I want you to listen to me. The Lord has laid something on my heart. There was a time in your life that you cursed God because of your problems. And that has never been dealt with. Is that true or not? It's true. Right, I want you to listen to me. God is not the one that brings problems into our life. We bring our own problems and the devil brings problems. God, the word of God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. That is the God that we serve. Now that doesn't mean that we don't have problems, because sometimes we do. But you must understand something. The gospel of Jesus Christ means nothing without Satan, because without Satan, we don't need salvation. Satan is real, and sometimes he brings problems. And sometimes we call those problems by the things that we do. Because you cursed God, you opened the big door for a very destructive power to come into your life. When I say power, I'm talking demon. And you've never been delivered from this. You are going to be delivered from this tonight. If you are willing to humble yourself before God, you will be set free. And God will pick you up from the pit. Do you want to be in the pit? Then tonight you're coming out. You raise your hands. You say with me, Father God, I confess to you today that in anger and lack of knowledge, I cursed you. Please forgive me. And please deliver me from this curse upon my life. Fire! Come out of him. In the name of Jesus. Please step away from him. I take authority over the spirit that came into this man's life to destroy him because of what happened. You came because he cursed God. Right now, in the name and the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of this man. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Release him. You release him. You go to the pit of hell. You go to the pit of hell. It's not finished. There is a woman in your past. Somebody that you spent a lot of time with. This person did witchcraft against you. This person tried to control every facet of your life. And even though you moved on from her, the evil that she brought into your life has never completely released you. This woman's power is being broken over your life right now. All the witchcraft that she put on him, I command you to release him. Come off, come off, come off. Now, go. In Jesus' name, release him. Release him.
To what you say, and she actually told everybody that you will never be nothing like.
Well, it's not what some say. It's what God says.
Amen.
Amen. Come, give the Lord a big hand, please.
Praise you, Jesus. Lord, we bless you and we glorify you. We exalt you, Lord. That young lady standing at the back, sitting at the back there, Claire, please come here. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. That's all right. Come stand there for me. Take a step that way for me. I want you to listen to me carefully. There is something that works in your life. Your life is sometimes like a yo-yo. One day you can have a wonderful day, but the very next day you can be down in the doldrums. It's a spirit that came into your life. I believe it's got ties to your family somehow. But it's time for this thing to go. This thing changes your personality. And some of your friends sitting here know exactly what I'm talking about right now. One day you like this, the next day you like that. Nobody knows what brings about these changes. Sometimes you don't even know what brings about these changes. But it's time for this to go. And the Lord is going to set you free. There is something very good in you, but it gets suppressed sometimes when this power comes over you and you battle. And sometimes you don't know why you treat people the way you do. Sometimes you can go off very, very quickly. It's like somebody's flipped a switch and you just, and you don't know why. You don't want to be like that, do you? And I've got good news for you. God never created you to be that way. It is something that came into your life, but is not the way you were created. When Jesus comes into our life, he comes to take away that rubbish and to bring restoration to the way we are supposed to be. Do you want this rubbish to go? You raise your hands and you say, Lord, forgive me for giving the enemy any power. And please deliver me from any generational curse. I thank you for this now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come out! Out! Levi! Levi! Get out in Jesus' name. Stop it. You stop it right now. Get out. And you don't touch her again. You do not touch her again. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Gae sokobahande de besokabayito. Kado kusahate de Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor and we glorify you, Jesus. Baezo sabaha dada yedo. Garakande kereyenda da basabayeto. Tia dada basia de yeto. Gaia kahanto onde isuba. Baego suku honte yesuba. The lady sitting there, Manuela, come here, please. Kareyede de besubade. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, so I'm not going to preach much tonight. You want to hear my sermon for tonight? Come next week. Amen. Lord, I praise you. Blessed be your name. Didn't the Lord say it's time? If it's time, then we got to move with him. Amen. Amen. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I know you are going through a very difficult time in your life right now. But because of the individual that things are happening with right now, a lot of demonic influence came into your life. And the Lord needs to deliver you and the Lord needs to set you free. There is a woman that came into that person's life that did things to you that has still got you in bondage. A spirit of witchcraft came from a third party and attached itself to you. And because of that spirit of witchcraft, even though you try and go forward, you can't go forward. You are stuck. The Bible says Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to heal
the brokenhearted. Because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus has done, nobody has to be a slave, whether to witchcraft or to depression or to anxiety or to fear or to worry or to sickness or to infirmity. But because of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, we have the right to be set free and to call God our Father. Amen. Now, I know for some of you, this is like really weird stuff. Where does this guy get off talking about witchcraft and this and that? Because we children of God, we Christians, and we can't be touched by these things. Listen, yeah, my friend, I suggest you sort out your theology, because you've got a big problem if you think that way. It is to the believer that the Bible says, give the devil no place. It is to the believer that the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom you must resist, standing firm in your faith. Who do you think he's talking to? Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Whether you like it or not, I don't care. That's what the Bible says. The devil's busy, my friend. I can't say much good about him, but I can tell you one thing, he works bloody hard. He doesn't slack off, and neither does his demons, because when they slack off, they get their hiding. So they work hard. They work hard to give you a hard time, don't they? Yeah. But because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus has done, we have the right to be set free. We have the right to conquer. Behold, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. He's talking to you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, that doesn't mean that the something is not going to come, because that's just the way it is. The roaring lion seeks to devour. But when we rise up in the authority and the power of the kingdom of God and Christ's victory on the cross, then we can kick his butt. And it's always a nice feeling to kick the devil's butt. Amen. Everybody stretch out your hands towards this lady for me, please. Lord, we praise you and we glorify you for who you are. The Lord of lords and the King of kings. Okay, just to put it out there, somebody did witchcraft because they wanted the gentleman that was involved in your life. They did witchcraft to curse you and to cage you, to put you in a cage. Tonight the Lord is going to open the doors and he's going to let you out. Yes. And you're going to start running. And you're going to go forward. Within the next month, something very big is going to change in your life, and you will come back to this place and you will testify. Yes. Raise your hands. You allow the Lord to touch you. Fire! Come out of her. Release her. Now. Release her. Release her. Release her. Everything that was done to this woman in the spirit. Come off. 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 Release her. Now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Be gone. Go. 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 Put something under her head for me, please. Praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. It's time for the reign of God. It's time for authority. It's time for the kingdom of our Lord to be revealed. It's time. And when the kingdom of God is revealed, the evil one has to flee. When the kingdom of God is revealed, sickness, infirmity, disease, suffering has to bow its knee. When the kingdom of God is revealed, people's lives change. And I want to say something to you. If you want to be offended by that, that's your choice. But there are some of you sitting here tonight, you've been going to the church 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years plus, but you've never experienced the power of God, because you've never really truly entered into the kingdom of God. Being part of the kingdom of God is not lip service. It's a lifestyle. The power of God wants to touch every single one of us. But a lot of us will never allow God to come near us. Can I tell you why? Because we're religious. Because of religion, we see God one way when the Bible tells us he's something else. You know, there's a lot of churches that will not allow the Holy Spirit to move because they don't like the weird things that happen when he moves through the church. Let me remind you of something. The wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he goes, and you don't know where he comes from. And so it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. Can I tell you where the church makes a huge problem? A big mistake. We want to tell the Holy Spirit what to do. We want to tell him how long our church services are. We want to tell him we're going to sing a hymn and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and then everybody's going to go home. And we don't want no funny things. We don't want no weird things. Everything must be just nice. Jesus did not have nice services. Go read your Bible. Demons came screaming out of people. And the sick got healed. And I'm pretty sure that it was a little bit upside down compared to what the Pharisees wanted. But then Jesus wasn't there to please the Pharisees. He was there to please his Father in heaven. Amen. And guess what his Father in heaven wants? The sick must be healed. I have come to set the captives free. I have come to heal the brokenhearted. You want to know what Father God wants? He wants the people in this place tonight that are captives to be set free.
Amen.
And if it's going to be a bit loud, he doesn't care. If there's going to be a lot of screaming, he doesn't care. If now and then somebody's going to vomit, he doesn't care. And if some of you fart, probably he can live with that. Why are you laughing? Why do I say that? Because when demons leave, these are the things that happen. Unfortunately. Yeah, some of them leave through the front door and some leave through the back door. And if it's not your night tonight, they're going to leave through the back door. What do you want me to say? Well, praise God. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Lord, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for who you are. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. You are our healer. You are our Redeemer. You are the Lord of lords and you are the King of kings. And we praise you, Lord, and we glorify you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That young lady there at the back, I would love you to come forward for me now, please. Was it Maureen? What? Yeah. Please come forward. Kaido sahate. I have a young lady here that came to our meetings for the first time. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And the Lord did some wonderful things for her. Just help me with this cable, please. Thank you. The Lord did some amazing things for her, and I'm going to give her the opportunity to quickly share her testimony. Please come this side. Thank you. I would like to introduce you to Lorraine.
Hi.
Oh, you can do better than that. I'm so
Hi.
Proud of you. There we go. There we go. Amen. Now, Lorraine, you came here, I think it was 2 weeks ago for the first time. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can just tell them why you came here. And then we're going to talk about what God ended up doing for you. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
2 weeks ago, brought a family friend from Durban. He just asked us to transport him here to see Rian for a prayer. So that's how we got here. And then there was a turnaround in my life. Amen.
So in other words, sometimes we have a plan, but sometimes God's plan is completely different from what we thought we need it. Have you ever noticed that in your life? You think, we're going to do it this way, this way, this way, and then God ends up just turning the apple cart upside down, but what God wants always works in the end. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
Well, praise God. Okay, so here's the thing. You brought a family friend here who was in need of God's help and God's touch.
Yes.
And God thought to himself, well, if that's the way we're going to get you to the meeting, fine, because I actually want to do something for you. And then yes. He ended up doing it for you.
Yes.
So tell them what the situation was, and then I'm also going to just interject here and there, and then we'll give God all the glory for what he's done.
Okay. 20, 2012. I've been to work after the holidays, and it was just the finance staff. And because it was the first day of work, and then the director said to us we could leave early, around half past three. So he saw me go down to the depot, and but he never saw me come back up. And when I got back up, he closed the doors, locked me in the company, and he was leaving. So I ran down the passage to stop him. It was a very long passage. And by the time I got to the passage, it's a slam-locked gate. I pulled the gate, and I stepped onto the steel stairs. And in order, with the instinct to realize the gate behind me is going to lock, and I'm going to be trapped between the gate and the main door, and nobody's going to know. So I turned to stop the door from the gate from locking, and I slipped on the steel stairs. And when I slipped, I didn't tumble or roll. I just sat very hard on my butt. And I, with all that shock of being locked in the company, I still got up, and I went and I looked through the keyhole, and he drove off. So I got back up, and I phoned the depot downstairs, and they came up and they opened me. So by the time my husband get to fetch me, when I sat in the car, I couldn't move. So immediately he drove to the doctors, and the doctors given me 4 injections. And he said to me it was tissue injury. So I've taken 4 injections. In the whole month, I've taken 100 injections for pain. And I've been going in and out to the doctors every time. I still went back to work, but at this time, I was bent over because I couldn't straighten my back. Then the doctor now couldn't handle me. He referred me to the hospital. So when he referred me to the hospital, both my husband and I went, and when we did the x-rays and the MRIs, and then we look at now the disc is out and it's crushed, and it is now sitting on my nerve, and I couldn't feel my left leg. So they had to do an operation. So they decided to do an operation where they're removing just the disc. After the operation, the pain persisted, continued bad. I couldn't bend, I couldn't walk, I couldn't move. Then they decided in 4 months again, another operation. So before they do the next operation, I had to see a neurosurgeon in Sunninghill Hospital, where he had to give me an exercise, like a classroom teaching, of what they're going to do on my spine. So he took a rubber mallet, and he banged on my leg, and I couldn't move my leg, and I couldn't feel him banging. So they had to rush on the operation because there was no feeling on my leg. So in June, they did the next operation where they put in 4 screws, massive, very long ones, on my spine, but they had to fuse it with 2 other vertebrae, so it gives it movement. So before I could go for that, I was scared. And every time my husband looked at me, he said to me, don't be scared. God is with you. Don't be scared. And then you get other people that's telling you, you know what, don't go for it. It's not good. You're going to be, you know what, you're going to be bedridden. You're going to be crippled. You're not going to move. You're not going to have movement. And I was listening to them and then listening to my husband and listening to everybody else, I was like scared. I didn't know what to do. I myself was so scared of whether I'm going to go there and not feel my waist below. And I was so scared. So at the day when of the operation, my husband took me and went. I was so scared. He couldn't even sit there looking at me. He had to walk out of the hospital. Just leave me there and go. And the next morning when it was the time of the operation, I said, Lord, I know I can't have my mom here. I know I can't have my husband here. That's the 2 most important people I want right now going into this theater with me. But I know I can't have them here with me. But I know you are with me. So I clutched my hand and I said, Holy Spirit, go with me. And I don't care if the operation is a whole day or what. So they took me in at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I only was out at 20 past 8 in the afternoon. So when I came to ICU, I was now fighting the drug. I want to be fit. I want to walk. I want to move. I want to have movement. I'm like eager and impatient to feel that within myself. So I'm like fighting the drug, and I had morphine into my jugular vein, and my hands were bandaged. I couldn't move my fingers because I had so much of stuff pinned in through to me. And that entire night to turn, I had 6 people turn me over this way and stuck in pillows, And then about 2 hours later, I had 6 people turn me over the other way just for me to have blood flow movement. And that was the second day. The third day, they moved me to the ward. Normally, you wait in ICU with the spinal injury for like a month. So the third day, they moved me to the ward, and I said, thank you, Lord. Then the doctor came, and he examined me, and he said he wants to have the physician come and give me some therapy to move and to walk. And so when he got to me, he said to me, the only thing I'm going to do for you today is make you stand or make you sit. If you can do that, then we'll take it step by step. I said, okay. But even though within me I said, no, I want to do this. I want to do this. Lord, you're going to make me walk. Lord, you're going to make me walk. And when he came and he just put his arms underneath, his hands underneath me, and he picked me up, and I just said, thank you, Jesus. So he said to me, okay, now you must sit because the fluids from your spine has been drained out, so you don't have much strength, so you need to sit. So I refused. I said, no, I want to walk from here to there. So he said to me, okay. So I took the walker, I went there. Then I said, no, okay, I want to go further, and I carried on. And then he said to me, no, now you need to sit and go back to bed. I was okay. So the fourth day, I said to the doctor, I'm fine, I want to go home. So I went home. And then I've been taking like 15 tablets every day. And I must tell you, some of the tablets are as big as my thumb. Very, very massive. And I couldn't even take a Panado for a headache. But now I'm taking like 15 tablets a day. And eventually it came to a time where I cannot hold my hand out like this. It would shiver. My legs would shiver. I cannot stand too long. I could not sit too long. And I could not bend. I could not put my shoes. I'm normally using sandals where I could just slip my feet in and walk. My kids, if it's cold, my kids would have to put my shoes and whatever. But I must thank God ever since I came here. To him all glory be given. Ever since I've come here 2 weeks ago, I want to thank God for what he's done for me. I can now bend. I can now pick my legs up. I can now put my own shoe. I can now go down on my knees and get up without anybody helping me. I literally ran. I was told not to run, not to walk on banks, not to climb a flight of stairs, not even to have a handbag. I was told to refrain from all of those. But I must thank God today, I do everything as normal.
Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen.
However, I am due for another operation, which I've been postponing and postponing and postponing. And I know, and now I truly believe in the report of the Lord, there's no operations to be done.
Okay. You brought a friend here for us to pray for him.
Yes.
But I noticed that night that, you know, after the service, people start queuing and we pray for the people. And I noticed that they brought her a chair and she sat on a chair. Now, normally with the elderly people, we see that because they don't like to stand too long. And for some of them, it's uncomfortable. But it's a bit strange to see such a young lady sitting on a chair. And I walked up to her and I asked her what exactly is the problem. And she told me that she'd had these back ops and that because of that, she had problems. She couldn't sit long. She couldn't stand long. And I said to her, young lady, I do believe that tonight God is going to do something for you. Do you have faith? She said, yes. I said, well, so do I. So let's pray. And I said to her, I want you to do something by faith. I want you to stand up. And you said to me, but when you pray for me, I don't want to fall. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
All right. She said to me, you can pray for me, but please, I don't want to fall. Now, you saw some of these people, when we pray for them, they fall. And she said to me, please don't let me fall. And I said to her, you know what? I can't give you no promises because what God wants to do, God is going to do. But if God puts you down, he'll put you down gently and he'll put you down the right way. And then I said to you that probably you need another operation, but this time God will be the one performing the operation. Yes. And if he wants to put you down to operate on you, will you give him the opportunity to do so? And you said yes. And so she stood there and I started praying for her and her eyes went big because she suddenly went boom. And you went down, and you were down for quite a while.
Yes.
Tell them what happened. What did you feel in your body?
as Rian stood in front of me and he was praying, I don't know who was behind me, but I could feel fire on my spine. And it was all over my back. Actually, I have an operation from the middle of my spine running way down. So I could feel fire all over. And I could feel intensive heat running onto my bones. Normally, I'm ice all the time, but at this time I could feel fire all over me. And then I could feel a tap, you know, like something's tapping on my hand like this, but it's on my spine. I could feel taps running all the way down to my spine and up, just tapping and tapping and tapping.
Okay. Now, you could not bend. Show them the range of movement you had when you came here that night. The range of movement you had before God touched you. Just show them how far you could bend.
I could not bend at all.
She could
if
not
I
bend at
all. If I
had
to go down, I would have to go down like this and then hold on to my knees and pick myself up like this. That's how I could have done it.
All right. Show them what God did for you.
Now God is, I could do this. I could do this. And I can wake up on my own.
Amen. Wow.
Without the help of anybody. And usually when I turn in the bed, I have to hold on to my husband's arm, even if he's fast asleep, so he can help me turn and I can roll over. But now I do it on my own.
Amen.
And
what's your husband's name?
Morgan.
Morgan. Did God give you a new wife? Oh. And now we have to pray for you to keep up. There we go. Well, you know what? It's wonderful that we can hear what God did for you.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. I did run.
The first night after we prayed for her, remember now, she couldn't run, she couldn't jump, she couldn't do nothing, and you got out of the car, and what did you do?
My husband was leaving to work, and he left the laptop behind. Normally when he comes home, he has a load of cash in there, so I stick it in the drawer, nobody knows about it. So this time everybody's looking for the laptop, and then he realizes you put the laptop in the cupboard, and I ran in to get the laptop, and unknowingly I was not supposed to run, and I never ran before in like 4 years, and here I am running to the door and back to the car with the laptop, and I got the laptop at my shoulder and it's so heavy. I really give
well,
God
praise
glory
God.
Today.
Lord, we thank you and we praise you, for you truly are the healer.
Amen.
Blessed be your name. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Oh, okay. Something happened to you. Wait.
While I was on the floor, God, I am not the same person as I went down. It's true, I am a new person. But God also says, because of my rebellion, I'm not ashamed to say this and this. There was times I went against, I didn't believe against my sister. And I used to say to myself, oh, these things are nonsense. It's true. Sometimes you pay for your tongue for what comes out of your mouth. And now while I was on the floor, God says, now you wake up and you have to apologize to them. I have to do it, what God asked me to do it.
Amen. Come give your brother a hug. God is good, hey? God is very good. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, Lorraine shared such a wonderful testimony. And here's what I want. I want you to listen to that testimony. Okay, of course you did, but I want you to allow that testimony to speak to you, because she didn't necessarily come here to receive anything for herself. She came here just for somebody else to maybe receive something from God, but God had a plan for her. And I want to say something to you tonight. God has a plan for you. I don't believe any of you are here by accident. You are probably here by divine commission. And you need to trust God. In the beginning, God gave me a word. It is time. Yes. I don't know what it's time for in your life, but probably you do. And maybe it's time for you to put your faith, your hope, and your trust in God, that it is time for things to happen for you. I'm not going to do anything more now because I want us to get to the second part of worship so that we can start praying for people. We can't do it now because there's not really a lot of space here in the front. But I'm going to stop now, and we are going to be praying for you after the second worship. Amen. Were any of you blessed?
Amen.
Come give the Lord a big hand, please. Amen. Well, praise God. So, young lady, how are you feeling? You feel good? God do something for you? Ah, praise God. Praise God.